We're continuing on our series on John this whole year, and we're starting kind of a new mini-series, Human God. And so we're looking at Jesus in his humanity. We know he is God come to earth, but he was very, very human as well. And here in this scripture, most people think that the kind of timeline where this scripture fits in is right after Jesus was baptized. We actually don't see Jesus' baptism in the Gospel of John. But we hear John's account of it from his own words. And so here now, John accounting, after probably Jesus is returning from his 40 days in the desert, his account of the baptism. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, for he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend as a dove from heaven, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him. But he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God," the word of the Lord. Did you just hear those ridiculous words? I mean, ridiculous words. "Behold the Lamb of God." Behold the Lamb of God. Who does he think he is saying this? Who does he think he is to declare such heavy, weighty words? Do you understand? Do you know what that means? He's either referring to the Lamb of God offered at the Paschal feast once a year as a way for God to pass over the sins of Israel in remembrance of his freeing them from this captivity of Egypt. Or he's talking about the lambs that are brought on a daily basis, offered by sinners, that their sins might be forgiven by God. And here he is calling a man the Lamb of God. And who is this John? Who is he? Who is he to be declaring anyone the Lamb of anything? Have you paid attention to his ministry? The things that he's doing? He is weird. Over there by the river. He is odd. I mean, have you seen his beard? Now, before you criticize me, I trimmed my beard to look respectable again. But even when my beard was crazy 2 or 3 weeks ago, it was nothing compared to his beard. He's a wild man. And you see what he wears. Not fine linen or woolen clothes like the rest of us respectable people. He's wearing camel's hair. I would venture to guess that's probably the reason why he stinks so bad. I mean, I would never, ever, ever go down to that disgusting spectacle that he has down at the river. Never. You would never find me so respectable a person down there at that place. Yet, you couldn't pay me to even go within 10 feet of him if I somehow went down there with the other teachers to mock, because he smells so bad. It really is probably from his diet. You hear what that guy eats? Insects. What kind of respectable person eats insects? Disgusting. What kind of teacher, with any self-respect, somebody seeking to make a name of themselves in Israel, would go down and submit themselves to that crazy man? What kind of person would go down there to that river and be dunked into the water by him? That reed blown by the winds of insanity down there. What kind of person would do that? And here he is. Here he is, this disgusting, just disgusting spectacle, standing up and pointing to this other man and saying, "Behold the Lamb of God." What right does he have to say that? What right does he have to say that? None. He's not respected from the temple. He's not one of my class. How could he proclaim such a thing? Not only would a teacher not go down there and subject themselves to that obscene scene, but he's proclaiming that this one who did go down there and was baptized by his hands is the Messiah. Not a Messiah. Is the Messiah. Not just someone who has had a portion of God's Spirit, but has had all of God's Spirit light upon him and become indwelled in him. The Messiah we've all hoped for, that we've all dreamt for, that we've been waiting for to come and save Israel. He says that's the one who went down and was baptized by him. Well, what is his baptism anyways? I mean, what is his baptism? These people who came down and fled to the river and desperate for some kind of salvation subjected themselves to his despicable scene, being baptized in repentance. That just makes the whole thing even more ridiculous. Can you imagine it? The Messiah needing to repent for something. Can you imagine it, bud? Can you imagine the Messiah needing to repent? What would he need to repent for? Why was he repenting? It's ridiculous to think that the Messiah would subject himself to be dunked into a river by this wild, crazy man to be baptized for repentance. But John's even crazier than that. You know what he says about this man? This man he points to and says is the Lamb of God. He's even crazier than that because he says he's not just the Messiah. He says that he came before him. Only God comes before us. Only God is timeless. He's implying that this man who would go and be a part of that disgusting ritual that John is doing, everybody knows that repentance is only found in sacrifices in the temple. What he's doing out there is a complete aberration of what God's will is. And he's saying this man who subjected himself to his ministry is somehow God himself. How ridiculous is this? How completely ridiculous is this concept, this idea? You know what the prophets tell us about God? The prophets tell us that God, in order to even just look upon the earth, that he literally needs to stoop down, that he needs to bend over just to look at the earth. And then when he's stooped down, when he's in this lowered position and he looks upon the earth, that all the creatures of the earth, all that is living on the earth, all of us are like grasshoppers. Picture that ridiculous idea. That God would become a grasshopper. Nothing. And that he would subject himself, the perfect and holy, to a baptism of repentance. What kind of God is that? What kind of God is it who would subject himself, perfect and holy, the one who defines for us what is good, who has never done anything evil ever, would subject himself to a baptism of repentance? Why would he do that? Why would he do that? It's insane. Now you see what I'm talking about, right? Now you see how insane this man is. Look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Who is this man? Who is this man? I mean, don't get me wrong. If I were to be really, really honest, I like to seem like I'm a pious and righteous teacher of the law. but I know my own heart. I know what's in my heart. I know that I need forgiveness from Yahweh as much as anybody else. Now, could you imagine that? God becoming a grasshopper, becoming a man, and then being baptized into a baptism that I deserve, a baptism that I should be taking from John because I should be repenting. And taking it upon himself, what does he think he's doing? Repenting for me? Who is this man? What does he have to do with me? That he would become nothing, live upon this earth, and then subject himself to be baptized in repentance for my sins, for our sins. What kind of a God would do that? Let us now come and worship that God with an offering, not of just some pennies or dollars or even millions. If you want to put millions in, that's fine. Into the offering. What does he deserve but your all? Every single bit of you in all your life. Because the truth is, he was baptized in repentance because you were unrepentant. That you are able to repent because he repented first for your sins and took them on there in the Jordan. So come and give to him all that you are in an act of offering.